It's Wednesday, January 16th, and the Bucks are coming off a 2-1 road trip. With things rolling so well, would you make a move at the trading deadline? Over to baseball, the Brewers finally make a move of note and sign Yasmani Grandal. Kirk Council was pretty excited. Are you? And the Packers keep making additions to the staff. Nathaniel Hackett is now the offensive coordinator. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE, and that's NoTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichet.
Welcome in to another edition of the Tap in the Keg podcast, episode 320.
Mitch on the ones and twos. Charlie, with you. You heard that, right? It's 320. I said 320 last week. It was 319 last week. We all screw up. Players screw up. So it's 320. Excited to talk to you guys. This should be a good podcast. Excited to talk about if the Bucks should make a move at the deadline. What kind of deadline moves would scare you from the other top teams in the East, since few teams probably need to make a move. Shout out to the Celtics. And not doing well right now. And then talking about the Brewers getting Yasmani Grandal, does that put him over the top? I think it does. And then we'll talk about Nathaniel Hackett taking over the offense for the Packers. So before we get going, though, Mitchie, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, surprisingly.
It's good. You're good on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Huh? It's going up.
Got the
on a Tuesday.
The Mortal Kombat 11 review or reveal coming up this week.
Okay.
Tomorrow, as you listen to this podcast, in case you're wondering.
So a little video game trailer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, no, probably more a lot more than that, I think.
What's a reveal in the video game
world? I think
walk me through this.
I don't really know for sure what the definition of a reveal is, but it's what it sounds like. I mean, they give you a lot more information as to what the game is going to be like.
Okay.
They're going to release the characters and everything.
Okay.
And the story, I think, and
okay, sweet,
possible like DLC downloadable content.
There you go. When is the show coming back for you?
That usually comes out in the middle of March.
Do you buy into the whole conspiracy theory that Bryce Harper is waiting to announce so he could, in conjunction with his cover photo? Have you heard that conspiracy theory? I sent an article to you guys like last week about that.
I would believe it because it sure seemed like when they made him the cover athlete, it was going to be something that was, and I don't know when they can always change the cover photo, I think.
Right, exactly.
But I wouldn't surprise me.
Just a huge marketing effort, and then just Bryce becomes even more hateable. And we could argue, is this worse than a decision? There'll be so many hot
takes.
That's
not even close.
No, nothing will parallel to the decision.
No, it won't.
The decision was, there'll be so many oral histories about the decision, like 20 years from now. You could maybe do a 30 for 30 on the decision. Like,
Oh, you could.
The decision was such a bad choice. Like,
it was such a bad decision. Right?
Yeah, it was. And that's one of those things, though. That is a moment in sports where I remember where I was. I was working at Officemax.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
And somebody, I can't remember if I looked at my phone or if someone told me that LeBron signed with Heat. And I was like, whoa. You went on TV? You're telling me you went? And that was when, in my career as a blogger, I was a big LeBron hate guy. And I'm like, he went to the Heat? And I remember I wrote, I don't even know if it still exists, on Chuck's Corner or Snowtap, I can't remember, about basically saying, hey, look, like, no way are they going to join the Heat. Stephen A. Smith.
No, senor!
Stephen A. Smith is full of shit. This is not going to happen. So, anyways, the more you know, right?
Yep.
But, yeah, let's dive right in. So, the Milwaukee Bucks are doing all right. Nothing major, nothing special. Two out of three on the road, which was nice to see. Their only loss was because Giannis really didn't play. I think they win that game if Giannis is in the lineup.
It's probably fair to say.
Probably a little too much. That game, weirdly enough, made me yearn for Malcolm Brogdon because Bledsoe and Middleton shot so goddamn much in that game. And I was like, started to wonder, is Malcolm Brogdon the second banana on this basketball team? And I don't know if we're there yet, but it's getting closer. That seems to be the theme of our conversations this year with Bucks basketball, is we always wonder who's that second guy.
Yeah.
And that
conversation will happen all year.
Right. But just like last year, it was the roller coaster, and we talked about the ups and the downs of the Bucks. It seems like there is usually a connective theme for the season. So a lot of the theme has been that second banana. And so that could lead people to think, hey, maybe they need to make a deal. But I myself do not think they need to make any sort of deal. I think they have a really good team right now. I don't know what would help them. Do you see the same way? Do you have a...
Unfortunately, I 100% agree. I mean, I don't think that they need to make any move, any significant moves. I just don't want to rock the boat. I mean, play it out, see what happens, a la the 2011 Brewers. Go as far as you can and, you know, make decisions in the offseason. It's a little bit different because you kind of knew Prince Fielder was gone.
Right.
You know, especially as the year went on and, you know, you gave him a standing ovation at the last game and all that. But it's a little bit different in that regard where like, any of these guys could be back probably.
Right.
Probably, I would guess, three of the four will be back.
Sure.
Of the four other starters. So you just kind of go as far as you can. And I could see a minor move, a bench guy. You can always use a dead-eye shooter off the bench.
Right.
That's the guy I'm looking for right now.
Right. I mean, the reports are out of Dallas right now that not only are the Mavericks trying to get rid of Dennis Smith Jr., who is not a dead-eye shooter, but they're also trying to get rid of Wesley Matthews' contract.
So I believe he is expiring, right?
He's expiring. It's about a $16 million deal. Yeah, so it's a lot of money. I think what the Bucks maybe hope for is not necessarily at the deadline, but a waiver wire guy, a guy who gets bought out. That's, to me, where they could make it. I mean, I didn't get a chance to read it today. I wanted to before the podcast, but the Mark Lazary, Mark Lazary Athletic piece that Frank Iosola did basically confirmed that they were looking at Kyle Korver. They wanted Kyle Korver. They also had the whole thing about the Steph Curry thing was a real thing, that they were looking at Steph Curry back in the day, before the old regime, not the new regime.
Where does that tie in?
I don't know. Someone was asked about it. I shouldn't be recklessly quoting this article, but there was a Steph
Curry
piece.
Hell did Mark Lazary know?
I'll
just through the grapevine?
I'll tell you what. I will read it and we'll talk about it on Daily Tap tomorrow.
Sounds
how about
good.
That? So we won't get too much into it.
Because I am unfortunately not an Athletic subscriber, and I would have liked to have at least, you know, gone down a few paragraphs on that, and I only got the opening lead.
I will say this, and I don't want to take it off too much of a tangent, but the Athletic, I hate people who suck its dick. I really don't like the overinflation of like how good it is, but it actually is really good. I just don't like the constant promotion by the people who like work there. I think they do a good job, but like there doesn't need to be this push to like, hey, sign up. I guess that's to drive subscriptions, but I have definitely worked out my subscription. I read it at least an article a day, probably. Yeah. And it only cost me like $3 for a whole year. Or
right.
Like three a month or 36 for the whole year, which is fine.
Yeah.
So I'd recommend it. But yeah, I'll take a look at the Iosola piece about Lazary because I think that's a good read. And then that goes to your point about the dead-eye shooter. They were trying to get a Kyle Korver, and more shooters, the better. Having guys also, too, who've been there in the playoffs matters.
Yeah.
Which really isn't Wes Matthews, but there are other guys who may pop up that just show up. Right?
Well, I mean, I'm just looking for that guy off the bench, you know.
Yes.
Like a la J.J. Redick, Marco Bellinelli.
Right.
Kyle Korver.
Yes.
Wayne Ellington, maybe?
Yeah. Mitch loves Wayne Ellington.
I don't know if I love him, but again, this is Charlie. We went through this last year with Bellinelli. These guys have a lot of value.
Right.
I mean, and that's why the Jazz got Korver. They ponied up the most.
Right. But Ellington right now.
I don't even know what it was.
Ellington right now, I don't think it's traded because the Heat are a playoff team. They're the 16th. They're 16th.
Well, he doesn't play. If you Google his name, you can probably. The first story is how he's in trade rumors.
Okay.
So I think they want to move him.
Well, yeah. But do they want to move him to a team where they could be playing Milwaukee in the playoffs? Would they want to deal with that?
I hope not. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe they aren't that desperate. He's probably not causing any ruckus or anything.
No.
You know, if they aren't that desperate to move him, they probably won't. He's only on a one-year deal, so.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, no, there are a lot of guys.
I mean, give me a few days, and I will probably come up with some others. As the season goes on.
And we're not, and this isn't really what we're trying to do here about giving names out, because we're both kind of in staunch, like, foot dug in, like, we don't need to make any major moves. We're not looking to get Dennis Smith Jr., who's probably the biggest name right now on the block. We're not looking to a Marc Gasol, who might be on the block as Memphis continues to be a dumpster fire where Milwaukee goes tonight, that they've just been so bad and that Gasol's a free agent after next year or after this year. So it's like you might as well try to get something a little bit for him and to let him go to a playoff team for the last sort of run and let that just become Jaren Jackson's team.
Yeah.
And you have Jaren Jackson, Mike Conley. Mike Conley's another name that gets thrown around. Conley's contract's way too big, I think, for anybody. I think it's an albatross. I don't think the Wizards are going to move Bradley Beal. I think that is a lot of smoke that is just by the Instagram and Twitter accounts of the world, because the Wizards are still in the playoff hunt. They're still in it. I mean, they're kind of far out, but like they also look like they have a pretty solid core here with Satoransky and Beal. We saw it on Friday night. Like, I don't think that they're going to move Brad Beal. He's been really good.
But they're
this
stuck
year.
With John Wall.
Oh, yeah.
So what are you going to do?
John Wall's contract is the equivalent of, like, kind of the equivalent of giving, like, a mediocre quarterback a huge deal, except in the NBA, you can't get out of those deals.
Yeah.
In the NFL, you can usually find a loophole, cut the guy, and eat some money, and it's okay.
Like a Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, exactly. Or
Andy, rough contract.
Andy Dalton had this big deal, but, like, there was provisions in it that if he sucked after 2 years, they could just cut him loose with $14 million.
Well, so, the thing with Wall is the big money hasn't kicked in yet. So yeah. I think it's about 4 years after this year at like $40 million a year.
So, yeah, that's a really interesting point. Do you deal Bradley Beal now? Do you deal him to, like, if you dealt him to, can't really, Dallas won't make sense with Dennis Smith, but like.
I think that's the biggest problem with dealing Bradley Beal is that there just aren't
there
good
aren't
situations.
There aren't like, a lot of two guards.
There aren't good training partners.
No.
Because I think. They want, and they probably deserve, a king's ransom for him. And who's willing to give that up? Who has the assets to give that up in a position to, you know, of course.
The Lakers. That's
yes,
the team.
Yes, right.
If they can't get Anthony Davis, who Boston has a bunch of assets, and that's the whole thing about with it, where Anthony Davis would go, and they say, because Brandon Ingram would make
a lot.
What
if the Celtics traded with the Wizards?
I don't think they do it. I really don't. That makes sense to me, too. I think that would also make sense. So let's start with the Celtics, or let's start with the Lakers, but then I want to go with the Celtics, because then we can kind of talk about this sort of what would scare you from a perspective of that. But the Lakers, you know, if they decide they can't get Anthony Davis, which I don't think they believe. I think they believe they can get Anthony Davis.
And they're going to.
And probably, and it's going to suck, and we're all going to be pissed off about it. But if they can't, getting a guy like Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, you know, suddenly.
I mean, those guys going to the Lakers. I mean, LeBron being out there, they're going to make the playoffs as long as he's healthy. Granted, they're trash without him.
That's what I think LeBron's seeing. Like, without him, he's like, okay, so
right.
I need another guy here.
Correct. Well, he knows that.
Yeah.
Believe me, he knows that already going in.
Right.
And like there's the theories out there that he signed there and knowing they're going to be awful and they're just going to get a guy
right.
in the next offseason.
Yes.
After, you know, another deal comes off from their team or whatever, they let KCP go.
Yeah.
He's been good though.
Yeah.
But, you know, nah, I forgot my point because I went on.
It's okay. I think the
stream of consciousness here.
I think the point is that, you know, the Lakers are.
LeBron, you know, LeBron being out west makes it great for the East, but I mean, That's a meat grinder out there. I mean, it just is. And, like, no matter who's on, if it's Anthony Davis and LeBron, that's two top five players. But having to go through Golden State and everything, see in the finals, I guess, but I don't know.
There was on the 105.7 last week, they asked Gary Wolfel, it was a random question. They're kind of shooting the shit. And they were like, would you rather have Anthony Davis or Giannis Antetokounmpo? And Gary Ellerson and Gary Wolfel said Anthony Davis, which I think is ridiculous. Because to Bill Simmons' point, who made this last week, what has Anthony Davis done to like establish himself in the league? He hasn't done shit by himself. He really is kind
but
of...
But averaging almost 30 points a game for 3 years is pretty good.
Sure, but he has good players. He has Jrue Holiday. He has Nikola Mirotic. He has solid players, and the Pelicans were supposed to be good this year, and they're trash. There is no reason the Pelicans can't be contending with where the Jazz are, the Kings, being in that sort of muddled, like, anywhere from 7 to 10. But yet, at the time, they may be a little better. They've been playing better of late. But they were the second-worst team in the West at one point this year. They're awful on the road. They just beat the Clippers last night, and that was their sixth road win, I think, of the year. So they haven't even got double digits in road wins. Like, I just think you switch roles, Giannis and Anthony Davis. First of all, Anthony Davis would be amazing with what the Bucks have right now. And Giannis, I think, would still be pretty damn good with that Pelicans team. Yeah. I don't know. I think Giannis is better. Maybe I'm biased. Am I biased?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd rather
I like Giannis a lot too, obviously.
I'd rather have Giannis because of the health of things. I think Anthony Davis is made of glass.
Correct.
So that's
and I think that's
issue.
The Pelicans' problem is all those guys are fucking injury prone.
Yeah, I think they've
so they can't seem to have everybody healthy for more than
right. They've done a really bad job of not looking into players' histories and saying, yeah, this guy makes sense, but just, you know, obviously the Boogie thing, they, you know, you couldn't help that. Right. That Achilles injuries happen to everybody. Yep. So could happen to me tomorrow at the gym. God forbid. If that happened to me, I'd be so miserable.
That would hurt. Really
I
bad.
Would just, yeah, I don't know. That would be bad.
You joined the likes of Brandon Jennings, who did it.
Yes. Sheldon Rankins.
Sheldon Rankins did it.
Didn't both guys tear their Achilles last?
Maybe.
Brandon Brooks, the offensive lineman, did too.
From Milwaukee.
No, from Philly. Oh,
no,
is
no,
he from Milwaukee?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, he's from Riverside.
From Riverside,
right.
Yeah.
That's right. You're good point.
Kobe Bryant did it.
Yeah. I was, you know where we were when Kobe Bryant tore his Achilles? I remember this.
That's sickening.
We were at Duke's. I remember.
That is sickening.
Kobe Bryant shot that free throw like a hard-o he is. He shot a free throw with a torn Achilles. Amazing. So, anyways, bringing it back. So, is there a team in the East where if they make a move, we don't have to go team by team, but is there a team where they make a move, not a fantasy move, just an actual big move where you're like, oh shit, they kind of have it figured out?
Well, everybody seems to think Philly is gonna, you know, is destination number one for anybody that gets bought out or traded. They're all going to Philly, right? Well,
right. Philly's the public team right now. They are the East version of, you know.
I mean, I don't even know like what's out there, like what's rumored.
Right.
I mean, there isn't much yet.
No, you know, it's just starting. We're getting ahead of this trend. We're early. I was early about Greg Gard being on the hot seat. I was a week early on everybody on that.
Nice.
Just throw it out there.
Yeah. Well, he'll at least get this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, the Celtics probably could make a move.
See, I think the Celtics are the team that I worry the most about. I'm glad you brought
that
up.
Well, because I still think that they're going to be fine.
I think the Celtics, and there was a joke.
There's an issue here where
Terry Rozier said it today. He said, we have too many good players. And he's actually right.
Well, right.
They're
too deep.
They're too deep.
They're too deep. They have. See, the problem is, the way they ran their offense was last season in the playoffs was what Brad Stevens dreams about.
Right.
Stevens, excuse me. That's what he dreams about. Now you've added, you know, Kyrie Irving back to that team. I know he played most of the year last year, but you know he's also in a situation where he's. I don't know if he's in a contract year, but he's in a situation.
Yeah.
So I would say he's for sure in a situation where he wants to probably get out of there again. So he wants to, you know, and you know, they're just a little ball sticking a little bit too much. You know, the defense is okay still because you have smart players and stuff on their team, but they're just not quite figuring that out. And if they've struggled with it all season, they probably will.
They're also soft. They don't have enough tough guys. They don't have any. They have just Marcus Morris. They have no.
Well, then what the hell do the Bucks have?
Bucks are tough. Giannis is a tough guy. Chris Middleton doesn't put up with any shit.
Nah.
Nor does Brook Lopez. Bledsoe definitely does.
I guess Brook. Bledsoe, yeah. I don't know, I guess there just haven't been any fights recently that I can really. Sterling Brown would fuck somebody up.
Sterling Brown's a motherfucker.
Yeah.
So is George Hill.
Yeah.
I mean, they have tough guys. Huh? We're a tough team, Mitch.
No.
You're just passive. This is your corner. You're getting into your corner of here is my pessimistic Bucks.
Okay. Aaron Baines, Marcus Morris.
Okay.
Marcus Smart.
Yep. He's just crazy. He's a shadow gangster.
Right. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
You can tell Marcus I said that.
That's
not Marcus
that's
Morris.
95% of the
Marcus
NBA.
Morris. Marcus Smart. You can tell him he's a shadow gangster.
Yeah.
Or a wankster. I've been listening to a lot of 50 Cent after.
You're obsessed with that. It's a great album.
I listened to it at the gym tonight.
My probably top. It's on my Mount Rushmore, probably of all time albums.
Another story for another time. But yes,
absolutely. Aaron Bain. I mean, yeah. I mean, about the same, probably. You know, they're comparable.
Right.
I don't remember any fights or anything in the playoffs that I can necessarily, base anything off of. But yeah, I mean, I guess Giannis has done some crazy things.
If I had to rank the toughness of the top teams in the East, it would go Toronto, Milwaukee, Philly.
See, Toronto
Indiana,
doesn't.
Indiana. And then.
Who's tough on Toronto?
Kawhi and Kyle Lowry, for sure.
Kawhi wouldn't hurt a fly.
Serge Ibaka, fucking. You saw him fight Robin Lopez.
Yeah.
All right. Whatever. We don't need to spend.
We
too
shall
much
see.
Time.
We shall see.
We don't
see.
Need to spend too much time on this. No. Weigh in with your favorite tough team in the East. We'd love to hear it. As for the Bucks this week, like we said, they play Miami as we tape this.
Hashtag Hardo.
They have not beat Miami 6 straight tries. So they're going for their 7th. Yeah. They were up 17-14 last I checked.
Okay.
So early on, though, very
up by
early.
7 at the end of the first period.
That's nice. That is nice. And then they go.
Holy Christ! We scored 30 points in a quarter against the Heat.
Then they go to Memphis tomorrow. I would usually worry about a back-to-back headed to Memphis, but Memphis is a bigger train wreck than the president. So I do not feel good right now about Memphis. You do play Orlando, who's sneaky. Orlando beat Boston and Houston last week. So.
Orlando, I think Orlando is that team for Boston where it's just like they just can't beat them for whatever.
No. They
for whatever reason, they just can't beat them.
Bad matchup. Yeah, it just sort of gets them. And then next Monday, Mitch, on Martin Luther King Day, in the afternoon, Luka versus Giannis. Get out the hand lotion. It should be exciting.
Probably free league pass that day, too, in case you're wondering. There is all this week as well.
Oh, yeah. Great call. If you are not in the Milwaukee area and you want to watch the Bucks, there is free league pass this week. So
yes.
Mitch is dropping that bag.
I also figured out a way to cast them to my TV.
Nice.
On Monday night. So
there you
go. Know where you can find me.
Just hanging out.
Watching Celtics and Nets.
Celtics. It's the Nets.
And yes.
It's the, well,
that Iron Eagle.
Iron Eagle the GOAT.
Oh, yeah.
I love the Nets. I don't want to play.
They had Scalabrini hopped over and went on the Nets broadcast.
That's funny. I kind of want to play the Nets in the playoffs, but I kind of don't because I like the Nets and I'd like to root for them.
Yeah.
They're just, to me, they're a likable team. I don't know. I think D'Angelo Russell got a fair unfair shake in LA.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see him thriving. But yeah.
It's hilarious that the Lakers probably should have kept him and Randall.
Yeah, right?
And they just let them both go.
Oh, my God. If you had D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randall on that basketball team, I mean, that's pretty damn good. That's a pretty – and Kyle Kuzma?
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good young squad.
Yeah.
Amazing. But sometimes, you know, LA's a little different than Brooklyn. Living in – I know those are two big cities, and so it's like, well – I don't know. LA just is weird, man. I just think it can get to you. The IG model life. Did you hear about Devin Booker?
Yeah, I did.
Impregnated 4 women.
Really?
4 women.
Damn.
I didn't see four.
I saw two.
Two at the same goddamn time.
Wow.
Sean Kemp is impressed with that, Devin Booker.
Scott Skiles is impressed with
just
that.
Just wear a goddamn condom, my man. Like, the pullout method doesn't work. Like, I know cream pies are cool and porn, but, like, take it easy.
Wow.
Yeah, they probably shouldn't have said that.
All yeah.
Right. Yeah, okay. This is professional.
Old Devin Booker. That's hilarious.
Ah, man.
Cute little Devin Booker.
Oh, little innocent Devin. Oh, yeah. He had that Instagram profile popping. He was doing this fashion stuff. And, man, those chicks saw that he made a bunch of money in the offseason, and they attacked him like a piranha.
Yeah, and that had to be a factor.
100%. About it. Kidding me?
I meant for him, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, no, he was slanging that dick.
He's like, it ain't nothing but 10 grand.
This guy's just doing hot laughs here.
I don't know what's going on. Anyway.
Sorry. Sometimes we just need a video. That is like a 2019 goal for us. Is just to have one of us just needs to pony up, buy a little handy cam and
get
just
a tripod
have it,
or something.
Get a tripod and just tape these live because the reactions that we have throughout the show are always good.
Hot laughs.
Hot laughs. We got laughing. We have Yasmani Grandal now being a Brewer. How about it? Just out of nowhere. So Mitch and I taped podcast last Wednesday, and literally every news broke. Yeah. And like we were
probably about 30 minutes after we got done.
Yeah,
recording.
We were talking about all this Brewer news, and then like literally 30 to 45 minutes later, Yasmani Grandal signs a 1-year, $18 million deal. There's a club option or a mutual team option for a year 2. Probably those never really do get accepted, but the Brewers are leaving that door open. Yasmani seems really fired up to be a Brewer. He thinks it's part of this winning culture. He talked about turning down the Mets deal and saying, I won't. You know, other guys.
Did you take anything away from that conference about the Dodgers? Maybe like an indictment, maybe on their culture at all, or just.
I mean, maybe. I think Dave Roberts probably runs a little tighter ship, and I think having to deal with Kershaw as a catcher probably sucks. And Rich Hill's kind of a maniac too. I think they deal with a lot more personality in their pitching staff.
Yeah.
And I think they told Grandal, and maybe Grandal expressed like, hey, look, tell me about how it is working with your pitchers. And he's like, you know, maybe they talked to Manny Pena, and maybe Manny Pena, you know, provided some feedback. And I do think that the Latin-based culture of the Brewers locker room, I think, really does help. You know, Grandal's the only one from Cuba, but there are a lot of guys who are similar to him from the Dominican, from Venezuela.
The thing about him, though, is he came to the United States from Cuba when he was 10, the quote-unquote easy way.
Yeah.
He didn't defect.
Uh-huh.
He won the lottery system or whatever they have.
Yeah.
So he's been here for a while, you know. But I would say that obviously there's plenty of Latin influence in his life.
Right.
So that could be part of it.
I just think that has to factor in, right? Like it has to factor in and you see, I'm sure Grandal saw it in the playoffs. These Brewers just don't take things too seriously. And they have a lot of fun and they have a good time. And that's why
they got beat.
Trust me, that will be a take from some Wally Waukeshaws if the Brewers start like 6-11. They're not serious.
That's a Kirky take.
They're not serious enough. But Grandal was mashing home runs in Dodger Stadium, and now he gets to hit balls in Miller Park. And yeah, the power numbers could be massive for Grandal.
Tremendous college baseball player as well.
Really?
Played in Miami, yeah.
Oh, so he has that connection with a Ryan Braun of the world. So
probably a little steroids in there,
maybe. Grandal will hit.
Don't bother me.
I haven't looked at a projected lineup, but you probably project him around the fifth or sixth spot in the order, give or take.
Yeah,
depending on the game and the situation and the lineups. I wouldn't see him batting anything lower than that. He does strike out a little bit, but I think all the Brewers kind of, yeah, exactly. It's part of the league. It's
2019 baseball,
and I think it was really kind of refreshing to see most people understood that
unless he's like the worst guy in the league, then maybe be like, okay, you know, maybe try to, you know, mix in a take here and there.
Right.
But you know, it's just part of the game.
But it was refreshing. Speaking of takes, it was refreshing.
It's like taking a lot of threes.
Sure. It was refreshing to hear not too many people were like, oh my God, this guy was so bad defensively in the NLCS. And everyone realized.
Well, that was my very initial first thought was like, well, you have a guy who can't catch now. He's a catcher, so it's important.
But right. But then you look at the metrics, and it's like the guy was a top pitch framer. So basically making balls look like strikes. And someone argued with me or was trying to say, well, isn't that subjective? Isn't it everyone's different? Well,
that was me.
Was that you?
Yes.
That was you. Okay. I forget who it was.
I mean, I don't have a huge argument against it, but it's just like, you know, every strike zone's different. So
it's fair. It's a fair point. I mean, you're right, but I think what I told you, see, Mitch and I just taped the podcast when we're not actually on air. Like, we have podcast segments all the time. Like, we probably did one at the Nomad on Saturday without even knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
There are zones, right?
And so because I put out the bait with a hot take, and
you do leave the cheese for me, and I usually bite into it, just like our friend Eric. There are zones, right? And I think everybody has a specific zone.
I think for the Brewers, it's having a pitch framer like that is good because you don't have that like hardline ace that's pounding the strike zone. You have guys that tend to nibble.
I mean, look at Freddie. What could he do with Freddie Peralta?
I mean,
Freddie Peralta, he's all about the motion. And
I think of like Zach Davies.
Zach Davies is another one.
Who I don't even know if he's going to be in the rotation, though.
Well, who knows? But, who knows what that fucking
rotation is
going to
look like. I mean, they have like 10 goddamn guys that are like.
Yeah, that rotation is easily.
Plus, everybody wants Mad Bum. So it's like.
Exactly. Well, yeah. And that's interesting. So is that. So people want Mad Bum? Like the radio callers and everybody?
I think I kind of want him.
Oh, okay.
The right deal.
I've gone past it. I'm like, you know, whatever. But I do think the attitude of Stearns basically laying his nuts on the table and saying, look, you're not.
I think once they got Grandal, it's kind of like, let's do this.
You might as well just go all in and just say, all right, motherfuckers, we are the best team in NL Central.
Your payroll wouldn't even be that. I mean, I know it's already like an all-time franchise record right now.
Yeah.
but it's still 125 or something.
Yeah, I think I was 140. I was talking to my dad post pod about Mad Bomb, and I said to him, and I should have said this on the podcast. You basically, Stearns should say to Farhid Saeed, I butchered his name.
I don't even know what it is. So,
but I would
Farhan. Just, Farhan is his first
Farhan.
Name.
I would say to Farhan, I'd say, hey, look, I'd put my balls on the table, full dick, and say, you are not getting a better deal than this, because if you let this go to July, I'm gonna give you half this offer. Mm-hmm. So you see the three guys I'm offering. You're going to get one.
You're going to get Tyrone Taylor and like it.
You're going to get one or two.
You know? Or yeah. Like, I don't know, who's some other mid-level.
Right. Troy Stokes or whatever. You're going to get him.
Trent Clark.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Trent Graham or Grisham or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He changed his name.
Yeah. Yeah.
B.J. Upton, you see, is now back to being B.J. Upton.
Is he?
Yes.
And he was?
Melvin Upton.
That's right.
Okay. So now he's back to B.J.
He was always B.J. to me, damn it.
Yeah. It's B.J. to me, damn it. So, yes, I'm fine if they don't get an ace. I'm fine if they do get an ace. I just think don't overpay. I did love seeing someone tweet at Hardricourt that the Brewers need to bring back Scooter. That just warmed the cockles of my heart.
It won't go away.
It never will. Never will.
It's like talking about the 2015 Badger basketball team. Just doesn't fucking go away.
Oh, God. That Badger basketball team will be talked about forever and ever. And that Justice Winslow touched the ball. I saw that tweet. Justice touched it. Get over it. Yeah. It's over. You didn't win.
Yeah. I know you and I are both enjoying all the replies to every Badger tweet, especially after they lose.
Oh, God. Mike Heller had a bunch of questions today. And so for those who aren't familiar, Badger basketball team struggling, as you may know. You may have seen. So what's really good is Badger basketball fans are some of the more irrational and more passionate and also subtly racist fans on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And so just looking at mentions of Mike Heller and Jim Polzin and
Tom Oates is the goat for that.
Your station had a couple Badger topics today, and I didn't see those replies. I'm sure they were good too. These guys, everyone's real upset with Greg.
I heard
Dark.
A few phone calls about it.
And you know they're going to beat Michigan on Saturday, right?
Yeah. I mean, that would be typical, right?
Like, yeah, everyone's like,
suck you back in.
Yep, exactly. That's how college basketball. College
what time is that game? Do we know?
It's an 11 a.m. start.
Ooh. Okay. Kegs and eggs.
Yeah. Marquette, actually, shout out to Marquette. So they're honoring Dwayne Wade.
They play Sunday, right?
They play Sunday. And they just announced that like Bloody Marys, select beers, breakfast sandwiches are $3 before the game from 9:30 to 11.
Wow. Damn. Not bad.
I'm into that. So but that should be fun, honoring Dwayne Wade. You can't lose on Dwayne Wade Day though for Marquette. They're playing Georgetown as we tape this podcast. So
69-45 at half, baby.
Wow. Holy
they figured
shit.
Something out.
I stayed away from Bucks. Bucks were an 8.5-point favorite, and I was like, that's way too fucking much. But I don't like betting against my team. So I stayed away, clearly away. And obviously,
that's okay.
Vegas knew.
Yeah.
Wow. Good start.
Yeah.
It's early.
I haven't had my eyes on the game, so I don't know what's going on.
No, it's okay. We'll move on to the Packers making a move to get Nathaniel Hackett as
who's apparently a goddamn psycho.
Yeah, he's a little crazy, right?
That's what I heard on the airwaves today.
He's a mad scientist, as Michael Cohen wrote in his athletic piece, also very good.
But he's always very positive.
Yes. He gets really...
So he's like Dabo Swinney then.
Kind of, yeah. I think he finds stuff that he likes. I think the new buzz bingo word is that he will challenge Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. That you have to say that when you're talking about anybody on the... I think that has to be like a fantasy football team this year. It's going the Aaron Rodgers challenge, challenging Aaron Rodgers.
The Aaron Rodgers challengers.
Yeah, the Aaron Rodgers challenge, Rodgers challengers, the challenger mission. Yikes.
Yeah.
But anyways, is it too soon?
No.
It's never too soon.
Yeah, that's Wally Waukesha's obviously dream right there. Got to keep Aaron Rodgers in line. Stay the hell out of the way.
I think what I loved about
coaches coach, players play.
I wrote about it on Snowtap WI. It's a website that LaFleur and him never worked together.
So I actually love that because it's always this good old boy network. You just saw Vic Fangio hired his longtime boy Ed Donatell, a.k.a. Mr. 4th and 26.
Yeah,
Ed Donatell is
that,
still...
That guy's alive?
I know! I couldn't believe it! He's the defensive coordinator in 2019! Ed Donatell! I mean, Christ almighty!
Are you kidding me?!
It's unbelievable. So I respect LaFleur not getting one of his boys and just saying, and it was kind of hard because the Kyle Shanahan blocked two, you know, his own brother, which was savage, as I said on Daily Tap, and Mike McDaniel, who's kind of a name that's getting kind of hot, who might be a hot coaching name next year or the year after. And so the whole idea of this is like, all right, you get a guy who has some West Coast schemes. They're going to run the ball a lot. This is going to be a more of a run-heavy team than I think people realize.
There's more reason to go after Le'Veon Bell.
No, not at all. I don't want Le'Veon Bell anywhere near the Packers. I don't want to pay that money for a running back. Kidding me? I'll be fine with Aaron Jones.
Think he's going to go to Indy and just crash and burn?
I don't know what's going to happen. The fact that the Bears were dancing around Kareem Hunt was pretty bad yesterday or the day prior.
How funny is it that, like, it's not even on the radar anymore, though.
The Kareem
like,
Hunt
yeah,
thing?
Like the Chiefs have just stayed. Like Damien Williams has been great.
Yeah, but you know what? If they make the Super Bowl, it is going to be a storyline.
Yeah,
100%.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to fill 2 weeks.
2 weeks, baby. You got to just every topic is out the door.
Yep,
I'm sure people
it's on the table.
I mean, you're going to talk about Pat Mahomes' weird voice because he kind of sounds like a Southern Kermit the Frog.
He does.
Oh, gee, Wilkers. You know, but anyways, the Packers made a good move there. I think I know that a lot there. The pinhead take was like, oh, they have the Jaguars and Titans offensive. That's great.
Jags and Bills, right?
And well, he was Bills coach, but I'm saying Titans for LaFleur. But if you look past it, it's like, and I think Krause wrote this for Packers Wire, like context matters with Nathaniel Hackett. He's literally had no quarterbacks. Like going from the quarterbacks he had to going to Aaron Rodgers is like, you know, having sex with a three and then going to Emily Ratajkowski. Mm-hmm. Like, that is really what is happening for Nathaniel Hackett. So he's going to be able to do all sorts of fun stuff. Tyrone Wheatley, who used to be a running backs coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars, said in Cohen's piece, like, look, he's a mad scientist, but, like, him and Aaron Rodgers together are scary. Like, they can put together a lot of stuff. And so you have now three guys who are near Rodgers' age. Both are 39, Rodgers being 35. I kind of love that. I think you can really relate to people, at least I've found, and I think other people would say this, when you have bosses who are around your age, they just understand you more. They get your day-to-day struggles. They get what you're going through. They don't necessarily think less of you or not. And these guys have both played and been around the game for so long, and they've been around the game in this generation. When Mike McCarthy started, it was Mike McCarthy actually was working for Nathaniel's dad, Paul. So, like, that's the difference right there, in my opinion. And that's why I think a lot of this NFL stuff has went younger because I think
Paul Hackett, USC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of the innovators of the West Coast offense with Bill Walsh. He's Bill Walsh's OC for a variety of years. I think what you see is that they're going younger because they realize that these young guys are relating better to the millennials and to the Gen Zs of the world. Now, granted, Rodgers is on that fringe millennial, but still, I think it's harder for these older guys to do it. Like, I think Bruce Arians and Vic Fangio are going to face an uphill battle dealing with younger guys on a regular basis. I don't think it's going to be easy for either of those guys.
Yeah. Getting psychological here again on the
we do that from time to time, don't we? But it just to me, it's like you have to provide that sort of comfort, and you can't just be a hard ass 100% of the time. We saw it with Jason Kidd,
yeah.
We saw that be a problem. And Mike Budenholzer, while he's a tough ass, everybody respects him. And like the fact that Malcolm Brogdon said, and I don't mean to make this a Bucks conversation, but they asked Malcolm Brogdon shoot around today about like losing to Washington. He's like, you know what? We haven't felt like we should have lost any games this year. Do you know how awesome that is to hear? Do you know how, like, that is coaching right there? That is your coach is telling you, like, look, there are no scheduled losses. Giannis isn't playing.
Who gives a fuck? Mm-hmm. You're going out there and you're going to dominate and you're going to win this game. We're not going to have any sorry sap attitudes. We're going to do the same fucking thing that we've been doing all year. And bringing it back to the Bucks, I think that was part of the problem with McCarthy and a lot of like with Brett Hundley last year and years prior. It's like, okay, Aaron Rodgers is out. We're going to go completely conservative. We're not going to play our game.
Yeah.
And that's...
You're not empowering anybody. I mean,
exactly.
You're just... You know, we don't want to. We're shielding you, and
we want to protect you. We don't want to embarrass you. We don't want to embarrass the Packers. Okay, if you get your asses handed to you the first game out, but it's a learning experience, and you're running your plays and you're going through your system,
and you've also seen the college game starting to really permeate the NFL game. That's just how
100%.
It is. Like, why do you think Cliff Kingsbury got hired?
Yeah,
I mean, the dude has not a lick of experience in the NFL.
He worked with the Patriots for a little bit, but yes.
Okay. Well, sorry.
But you're right. And
I mean it's
a grain of salt. It's a speck of sand in the grain.
One little, he dipped his toe in the pool.
You look at him versus like Josh McDaniels, right? And it's like, I mean, Josh McDaniels has been here forever. He's been a head coach before. But you're gonna hire Cliff Kingsbury over McDaniels. It's how it is. It's how it's sort of trending.
It's just the trend.
And I think that is.
And now they're talking about taking Kyler Murray number one.
See, that won't happen. I guess that is.
If you'd asked me this time last year, Baker Mayfield was going number one, I would have laughed right in your face.
No, I think Kyler.
Now I'm talking to a Baker Mayfield, dick rider. So
yeah, but see, Baker to me has a lot more like the what they're missing about Kyler Murray, in my opinion, is not the height; it's more the build. He has a baseball build.
Yep.
Like he has to put on a lot of weight. And so when he puts on weight, how is that going to affect him?
Yeah.
That's
my thing. So that's the thing. And we can talk quickly about Kyler Murray.
Yeah. No, I mean,
there's
time.
Obviously the great debate about whether he should play baseball or football. And, everybody's saying, well, you can make more money faster in the NFL. He could also get hit one time and, not get up.
I though am sick and tired of people telling, and it's not your fault, but people telling like guys that they shouldn't play football because they could get hurt. You get hurt, you could get hurt in a motorcycle crash like Jay Williams did. You get hurt by just being
you can't tell me that it's not more
right. But like people saying that Trevor Lawrence should sit out the next 2 years and wait for the NFL draft. That's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
This guy is going to be the big man on campus. Let him swing his dick and let him have a good time. Like, it's not just about your health and your long-term being. It's like you should be able to have fun. And people just want to take that away. They want to suck the fun out of things. And it's all about the money. And I get it. I like making money too. But at some point, it's like, if I'm Kyler Murray and I'm making this decision, it's not about the money for me. It's what am I going to have the most fun at
right, and
doing.
That's what I'm thinking is football is his love. I mean, it's got to be.
Yeah, and I do think there is something to like, hey, I can't control where I go, so it's going to be kind of unpredictable. But look, if I'm a team like the Dallas Cowboys and I have to give either Dak Prescott a huge contract or I could draft Kyler Murray in the first round, I think I'm drafting Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray could
play
behind that offensive line, I think.
Yeah. And I don't think you should give Dak Prescott that much money. I don't think he's worth it. I think that's what's sort of handicapped teams has not been.
That's your John Wall contract.
Has not. Yeah, exactly. It's 100% that. It's not the Aaron Rodgers of the world getting the huge money. It's the Joe Flacco's of the world getting the huge money.
Screwing up the market
and
for everybody.
Dak Prescott is more a Joe Flacco than he is an Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Although all Dak's done is win, so I'll give him that. He might be one of those guys where he just wins football games, and that's it.
Russell Wilson.
Kind of, but he's not as good as Russell Wilson.
Correct.
I just don't know. Before we hit the music, who do you have this weekend? Rams, Saints? I'll ask you two ways. What is the Super Bowl you want to see, and what is the Super Bowl you think we're going to get?
Can it be both?
Yeah, absolutely.
Saints and Patriots.
Okay, which would be Atlanta's nightmare because Atlanta hates the Saints. Like Bobani Jones is like, he's been great on Twitter. I don't follow him anymore. He tweets too much.
Saints-Falcons have a big rivalry.
But he's been like, literally, you cannot let this happen, NFL. Like the Saints infiltrating Atlanta will be just so bad. It would be amazing.
And then it would also be the Roger Goodell hate bowl or the fuck Goodell bowl, because both teams have
and you get Breeze against
Goodell,
Brady.
And you get Breeze against Brady. And that would be...
And those are the two teams with the best defenses that are left. I know it doesn't matter. It hasn't mattered to this point. But as far as off... What's top? The Saints are third and the Patriots are fourth, but the Patriots have like the sixth best defense. Mm-hmm. And the Saints are like 14th. Chiefs are trash. Man.
Okay.
Granted, they have to go to Kansas City.
See, I love... Okay, so I'm going to stop you right there.
Another snowstorm coming, apparently.
So I like the Chiefs, and it's mostly weather-based. And Barstool can make me one of the videos. I would be honored if, like, doubting the Patriots. Look, I like the Patriots. I think the Patriots are a good team. But there is something weird that happens with quarterbacks when they get old, like Brady's age, and it gets really cold. Yeah. You saw it with Adam Vinatieri about just... And I know that's a, but like
that's true.
Brett Favre, when it was really cold.
I mean, you're
cold,
talking about a top five kicker of all time.
When it was really cold for Brett Favre, yes, in the latter part, really late stages of his Packer career, he struggled so much.
I feel like it happened to Peyton Manning.
Yes, Tim too. So that to me is a whole reason why I'm picking the Chiefs. And that Chiefs defense, I don't know how real that Chiefs defense is. They looked way more real than I expected them to. If you could get Eric Berry back, that would be massive. And also the other thing that people kind of conveniently forgot is that you are able to run on the Patriots. You're not really able to pass on them, but Damian Williams could have another huge game and be sort of the headline going in. I have the
Chiefs. So you want the rematch, the Chiefs-Rams rematch?
So I think it's going to be Chiefs Saints, but I kind of am pulling for the Rams. I might bet the Rams. I haven't decided yet. We'll talk more about this on the weekend watch list as I kind of think more about this. But I do think the Rams have a little bit of a revenge thing. The whole Marcus Peters telling Sean Payton to shut his ass up. We're going to see him again. And the Rams all of a sudden have become this team nobody thinks can actually get to the Super Bowl.
Right.
I think everybody's on the Saints, and I just don't know what the Saints have done from an offensive side of things. So, well, I'm sure we'll talk about...
Yeah, they struggled. But
we'll talk about the Super Bowl matchup a little bit next week. We'll also look back at what the Bucs did and who knows what other headlines come about for us. So for Mitch, I'm Charlie. We'll talk to you on Daily Tap tomorrow and see you guys next week.
Peace.
Later.